All right, everybody, welcome to another edition of The Daily Drip. I am Philip Kerrigan, Program Manager of the Combined Fund Drive, and this is, as always,
Jerrica Ferguson, handling marketing and development.
Yes, and this is a part of our ongoing campaign this year where we have a podcast every day. And you usually hear me and Jerrica talking, but today we actually have very special guests.
Yes.
The two employees from Raise for Own.
Yeah.
So why don't we have you guys introduce yourselves, starting over here.
Hi, I'm Bryn Johnson. I'm the founder and president of Raise for Own.
And I'm Jen Sharber. I'm the executive director at Raise for Rowan.
Awesome. So first thing, thank you guys for coming.
Thank you for having us. We're excited to be here.
Yeah, here at the Capitol.
It's yes.
It's beautiful.
It's so pretty here. I love it.
Did you notice that they're like cleaning the dome for once?
Yeah.
It's so weird when you're far away.
And it looks crazy.
It's like stripes.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
What are you guys doing up there? Having too much fun?
Yeah. Well, it would be pretty cool to be all the way up there.
Yeah.
I feel like it's
a little bit like a guy that has like a beard, though, that like... You know, shave certain spots and be like, ooh, what does it look like if I have a goatee or mustache? That's what they're doing.
They're trying out a new look.
That's what it does. I feel like, how does it look? Maybe it could be a carnival house. No?
No, we're keeping that in.
That's good.
It's early.
Yeah,
it's early. It's going to look really good when it's all done.
Yeah.
Exactly. So first thing we want to talk about is Raise for Rowan, the organization. Can you give us a little bit of a history? And then what it is that you guys do for the community.
Yes. We got started in 2014. I tragically lost my daughter, who was 17 months old. Her name was Rowan Lee A. Johnson. And it was a tragic accident involving my friend who had came over to pick up my son for preschool. And my daughter was struck by the vehicle and died instantly. In our, you know, trauma and heartache, we really wanted to do something to honor her life forever. And we decided to give back to the community because the community had come together and been so supportive to us in our time of need, not only with funding, but emotional support as well. So we came up with the mission of providing financial support and emotional support for families that lose their children. Mm-hmm. And to date, we're over 200 families that we have assisted, not only in Washington, but nationwide. Mm-hmm. And we do focus our primary funding in Washington State, but we, you know, go all over the place.
Right.
So that's what we do. We really want to connect with these families emotionally and build up that relationship for, you know, years to come, and not only just pay their funeral bill, but yeah, we're really connected with these other families that we help.
Yeah, it's an amazing story of attempting to turn tragedy into something, you know, meaningful. So I think it's really cool. And I think when people hear this story, they'll really connect to it and they'll love it. Jen, how did you come into play with Raise for Rowan?
Yeah, so I was Rowan's nanny, actually, for pretty much her whole life. I watched her. And then after the accident happened, it was kind of like... It just fell into place. I don't know how to explain it. It happened organically, the growth of Raise for Rowan, my position with the charity. But I pretty much just do all the day-to-day, you know, things to do. We plan a lot of events. Our primary fundraisers are an auction annually, a run that we hold in Tenino. We do a golf tournament, and we also do a partnership with the Tacoma Rainiers. So those big fundraisers are kind of what we're constantly working on. But, you know, every day there's something going on with requests coming in. And
so how do you receive those requests? And I know maybe a little bit of the history of, did you always just get requests, or were you guys reaching out?
At the beginning, we were definitely reaching out, but we've really built up some good relationships with some funeral homes. We only pay directly to funeral homes, so we know where the funding is going. There's a really simple form on our website that people fill out. A lot of times it's a family friend or the funeral home helping out a family to do it. And
We talked about this when we shot the video. That's going to be one of the Friday flicks. I imagine the first couple times you reached out to a family who was going through something that profound, they were a little bit like, who are these people? Why are you calling me? Did you receive that sort of distrust at first?
Yeah.
Yeah. How did you work through it?
I think once I explained my situation, it was easy for another grieving family to connect with me. But, you know, until they heard that, they're like, who are you? And why are you offering just to give us some money to pay for our funeral expenses? And that was the beginning. And it took a while, you know, probably a year before people started hearing the name Race for Rowan. And we started building some, you know, a positive reputation in our community. Mm-hmm. So, and then like Jen said, we work hand in hand with all the funeral homes. So I think once we developed that trust with them, things got, you know, now it's just a seamless process and we don't have to go knocking on people's doors and be like, hey, I just want to pay for your bills.
Right.
You know, now people are sending us requests, which you can do online on our website.
How long between, between when Rowan passed away, how long was it between then and when you finally decided that this was the direction you were going in?
It was honestly pretty quick.
Really?
I was in such a foggy state. But it just was so right. So me and my friend Cassie that was involved in the accident, you know, we obviously still had to continue on in our lives at some point. So we would see each other pretty much every day at preschool taking our sons. And obviously that was a really hard and emotional time for us to still see each other every day. But I remember just hopping in her car one day and I'm like, look, I love you. It's okay. Like, we don't need to, it doesn't need to be awkward. Like, we just have to still be able to like see each other every day. Like, we will forever. We our kids are on the same football team still to this day. So I see her daily. And, you know, we would cry together and we would just start talking like, how can we give back and how can we honor Rowan? And it happened within a few months. I mean, we were like, we're starting a nonprofit. I have no idea how to do this. please, somebody help me out. And it just happened, like Jen said, organically, naturally. It just fell into place. Every time we'd apply for a license or a permit or insurance, it seems like everything happened really easily.
Awesome.
It was like we were meant to be doing this. So.
Yeah. That's cool. That's so, really cool.
How did, like, you kind of mentioned earlier that the community really came together. Can you talk a little bit about how important that community was to you and your need and why that you're trying to turn back and give back to community as well?
Yeah. It was probably the most humbling experience I've ever experienced in my life because, you know, we live in a really small town. We live in Tenino, Washington, but everybody from Tenino, Olympia, Centralia, you know, all these little outskirts. I mean, people were coming to my home, bringing us meals. People started a GoFundMe account for my family and all this money was pouring in. The venue that we had my daughter's celebration of life, yeah, that was all donated. I mean, people just really gave their last dime if they had it to help me and my family out. And we have a huge family as well. So it wasn't just me and my husband and my son at the time.
Yeah.
It was grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins. And, you know, it really rocked our whole family. So people weren't working. Yeah. And to be able to take that time to spend with one another and the community really just supported that. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had the Lucky Eagle Casino bringing us flats and trays, like 40 flats of food.
Unbelievable.
Wow. That would, I mean, it would feed like 40 people.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's how big my family is. So, yeah. I mean, it was just so humbling and it didn't just disappear after a week. I mean, this was like a couple months of people really coming together and supporting us. And I remember just like crying, like, I cannot believe people really care. You know, it's that humbling that people really care and, you know, mailing gifts and mailing, just books and anything that they could possibly think of, it would be like at my doorstep. I wanted to give that to other families. Like, I felt really blessed because I don't think everybody in this situation has that. I was really proud of where we were, where we came from and where we live and our community, because I'm like, I don't think everybody has this. And I would love to be one of those people that can give that to somebody else.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Jen, can you talk about how much experience in development work did you have before you started working?
I didn't have a lot of experience. It really just, you know, fueled off emotions. We were built on emotions and heart and love and compassion, and that's what's grown us. So, it's kind of been a learn as you go process. We have some great, great support behind us with our board, and our community again showed up to our events, made them happen. You know, without them, it wouldn't have been what it is. And we've just learned a lot. I mean, you just learn as you go, right? Like, the website, all the little things that have started us.
Yeah. That's my second favorite part of it is is the idea, like, you really, you don't need all of the hefty experience and all that sort of stuff. Right. You just really
you
need,
can really just be a couple moms that have a passion behind it and make it work.
If you have heart and passion, it's like you can learn what you need to learn.
Yes.
And the community support.
You have to have the drive and the passion to do it.
Yeah, and I think that's an awesome lesson there too. Mm-hmm. Like, if you really have a passion for it, pursue it, because it makes the failure portions easier to take because you still have the energy to keep going.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I love that. I see your sticker everywhere.
Good.
Like, on cars all over
the place.
I love
it, though, what's on trucks, because it's pink, right?
Yeah. Yes.
And I'm like, oh, wow. Yeah. That guy's awesome. Like, normally I see a big truck, and I'm like, come on, man, move over. Yeah. But then I see the sticker when I'm driving through, like, on I-5, and I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're like,
road rage.
You know what? I like you.
Yeah.
I love the stickers, too.
You should tell that story about one of the families we helped in the sticker last week.
Yeah, I will share a quick little story about the sticker. So, to us, that the sticker is not just a sticker. Mm-hmm. It's one way that obviously I honor Rowan, and I love seeing him because I'll see cars all the time, and I'm like, I don't know who that person is, and they have a Rowan sticker.
It's pretty neat.
So cool. And it's advertising our charity.
Yeah.
But a family we helped recently in the area, and I'm not going to say names because I don't know how he'd feel about that, but he private messaged me and asked if I knew anybody in a description of this little truck. And he goes, I know you have stickers all over the place with Race for Rome, but I saw this little sticker, you know. And so I let the guy merge on, and I zoomed up by him and waved. And I wanted him to see my stickers because he has honorary stickers of his son that had passed away. So he pulled up in front of this car and, you know, kind of braked. And so the guy could see his stickers. Then they went parallel and waved at each other again on the road. And he goes, I've never had such a more gratifying feeling, like I was a part of something bigger than me. He said, I was covered in goosebumps. It was like a connection to his son on the other side. And it made me covered in goosebumps too, because I'm like, these stickers mean more to people in those circumstances. You know, that was his way of saying, like, hey, you know, Race for Rowan helped me out.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It was really
That's very cool. That is really cool. That's really awesome.
Yeah.
So explain where you guys are located first, and then the different places you guys you've helped. So I think that's also crazy. So you're based in
Tenino, Washington.
Tenino.
Yep.
And you have helped people all the way down to
All the way to Florida, all the way to New York. We in the beginning were helping all over the country. Anywhere that needed help, we would give it to them. We did have to scale back a little bit because of the tremendous growth that happened so quickly.
Right.
So right now we're just kind of primarily in the Pacific Northwest. We give more in Washington State than we do out, but we do give out of state funding, you know, Oregon, Idaho, California, Montana. I think we go all the way
Texas,
to like,
Arizona.
Yeah.
And you mentioned some of the various different events that you do. Can you talk a little bit about those events and exactly what they do for you? What sort of you know, things do you use that money for?
Yeah, that's primarily how we're funded. All of our funding is raised at these events. We do have, you know, like the CFD, we're signed up for Amazon Smile, so we do have other forms coming in, but the auction really is our biggest event. We have almost 500 guests that come every year. And although our cause is a sad one, our events are really fun. Our auction is just
a good time.
We try to really make it unique. You know, there's always something at our event that symbolizes each child we've helped. One year we had birds, 150 birds hanging from the ceiling, giant white birds with each child's name on them. Last year we had big feathers that were on each table with the child's name. So we really try to personalize it and make it Race for Rowan.
What are you guys doing this year? Or for this coming year?
Can you give the secret out yet?
It is a secret.
It's still a secret.
Oh, it's still a secret. I don't think it is.
Let's let it out.
Our theme this year is A Night in Wonderland, so it's going to be a little funkier than normal. And
adult
this year,
Alice in Wonderland party.
So.
That could get
real fun.
That could be cool.
We have some surprises in store for our guests because, you know, we do have a lot that attend every year. So we got to spice it up for them.
Sure.
So we want it to be a little different. So
this year there'll be keys that we'll have.
That's awesome.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So, you know, It's fun.
Yeah.
We have some dueling pianos playing for entertainment.
Yes. Ooh. Yep. Yes. Yeah. In the night.
Where is this located?
This is going to be at the Little Creek Casino. Yeah.
Good question.
Yeah. You guys should come.
Hey, Little Creek. Yeah. Shout out to Little Creek.
Yes. Yeah. Little Creek is great.
Little Creek is awesome.
Okay. They've been a great venue for us. Yeah. So Little Creek and then
March 23rd.
2019.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. Tickets will clear go on sale calendar. In December. Yeah. We're so excited.
Dawn, write that down.
It's really one of our biggest event of the year. It's huge.
That's good.
Then in April, we'll host our 5K, 10K. Mm-hmm. It's a chip time run. We do it in Tenino. We take over Tenino. It gets crazy.
Yeah.
It's so fun to see because we always do like pink or turquoise shirts. And everybody's painting the town.
It doesn't matter how feminine of a color there is, guys rocking these shirts all over town. Yeah. They love it. So
we really make this our big family event. We have a huge kid zone with bounce houses and pony rides, and it's just a huge fun day. It's not just a run, you know.
Yeah.
It's more than that. It's for everybody. Yeah, we make it pet friendly, so there's tons of dogs. Mm-hmm.
And you will be a charity at this year's Masquerade Ball yet again.
We're so excited. So
for people who are coming, we are almost sold out.
Right there.
Yeah.
We can't wait to be here. Yeah. It was such a hit for us last year. We loved it. And we definitely could tell an improvement with our CFD donations afterwards. Awesome. So we are really, really thrilled to be coming again.
Cool. So for those who are listening to the podcast and you're coming, make sure you swing by Race for Rowan's.
Yes, we'd love to meet you.
Yeah.
Good.
So to get mildly serious for a moment, what sort of advice would you give to folks who go through something as tough? What will be some things, some takeaways during that time to get people through something that hard?
Well, I can definitely say don't hesitate to ask for help and reach out, because, I mean, not only to just like our organization, but you cannot go through something that traumatic by yourself.
Yeah.
So whoever you have as a support system, lean on them, lean on your family, lean on your good friends, and you will figure out who your good friends are that can actually handle it, you know, because it definitely changes friendships too. But I would just say, please, you know, don't go through it by yourself. It's just impossible. You know, find a good community support group, reach out to Race for Rowan, lean on your friends, join a church. That was a huge part for me that really helped, is just being a part of a church. And, you know, they really lifted me up in that time. Ask for help. You can't go about this by yourself. And be open to different ways of healing. You know, I've tried all the ways of healing too. Go to therapy, join a gym, try yoga for Pete's sakes, do whatever you can to really like make yourself feel better, because you just have to. You have to be kind to yourself, and it's a long process of healing. So I think as much self-care as you can is definitely needed. And just relying on your friends and your family and any support system that you can.
Yeah. Jen, for you, different sort of question. What would you say to people who may be scared of taking a leap into something new like you did with development? What would you tell them? What are some of the things you can do to actually be successful? Great answer.
I just think you have to trust the process. You know, just jump in. You gotta take a risk, right? I don't know what could it go wrong. You know, starting a nonprofit or something that you feel passionate about, what do you have to lose, right? I mean, if you have a great cause and a great mission that people can feel a connection to, then you have something worth fighting for.
That's what I think is so neat about a lot of the nonprofits we often talk to, is most of the time these are started based on an experience that happened to them or something they saw that they felt powerless over. And this was the way that they found, not really control, because you can never really have control, but sort of got some of the power back. And I think that for you guys, what's really cool, and hopefully folks get it from listening, is even through the darkest sort of things, you can keep moving if you just keep trying. And I think that that is, I just try things. You know what I mean? Don't be scared.
Try it. And if you like, you know, give it your all. Because you're going to be successful if you just put your whole heart and soul into it. How can you fail if you're giving it your all?
That's exactly
That hustle.
That's how I feel. I mean, like, failing isn't an option because I give it all I got. You know, and there's things that are obviously challenging, and there's times where, you know, we think we could have maybe raised more money or done this, but we're always proud at the end of the day of, the nonprofit and the results that we have. And it's a good feeling. It's a happy thing to go to work every day and be able to assist other families. Yeah. So
I think that's such a great takeaway in the work that you guys do is at the end of the day, you're just doing the best that you can for others in that sense. And I think that's so important.
Yeah. And we're not turning any families away. I mean, even a family that we only give $200 to, we'll get the most heartfelt email from them on how big of an impact that made, you know, even though that was all their bill was, it makes all the difference to them. So every little thing.
So if people hear this podcast or see the video on Friday Flicks, which they'll have an opportunity to see during this campaign as well, or meet you at the Masquerade Ball and they decide, I'm going to start giving to Raise for Rowan through my paycheck. Can you guys talk a little bit about what that sort of funding does for your organization?
Definitely. We are already, our 2019 budget is, you know, already kind of set. But when, like, let's say if we had a big influx of money coming in from the CFD, what we can do is present that to like our executive board and say, hey, we would like to, you know, increase our monthly giving per month because we have X more amount of dollars. So that's something we can do with it. All of our funding is already set for like events and all that stuff. So any extra money that comes in for the next year would really actually go for increasing, you know, paying for children's funeral expenses.
Awesome. And, well, sorry, go ahead.
Can you maybe for people that want to get involved but maybe haven't experienced something tragic like this, can you kind of explain a little bit about those funeral expenses? Because I don't think a lot of people, when you say that, right, I can think of like my great-grandmother and my grandmother that we had to take care of. But, I, you know, for childhood funeral expenses, maybe is there a difference or like what do those actually include?
You know, they're very diverse. So Jen deals with this mostly day to day.
Yeah, a lot of funeral homes actually, when it's a child, will discount it quite a bit. If it's an infant, a lot of times they will do what they can for free. And then, you know, there's overhead costs. So a cremation, of course, is a lot more cost effective, but not everyone wants to go that route. So with it comes, I mean, like Bryn always said, it's like the last gift you're giving your child. You're never going to get to throw them a birthday party again. You're never going to buy them a Christmas present. So you want to give them the best of what there is. So, you know, every little thing. We've gone as far as playing for bagpipes that were played at a child's service to his favorite football team's decals put on their casket. You know, there are just things that mean so much to a family. A remembrance necklace, you know, these things cost a couple $100s and the funeral home can't give that for free. They have to pay for it as well. So, they really try to work with us. They know that we're a nonprofit paying for this. So, they really do try to help us out as well. So,
and a headstone, the headstones are pretty spendy.
Another thing. So we kind of do that separately. Sometimes there's a case that could be the child was passed away 4 years ago, but they never were able to purchase a headstone. So we do assist with that as well, because, you know, that's still a final expense. So, those are things that we're trying to continue to help out with. But a headstone can run as much as $5,000.
Wow.
Or more.
I mean, I want to say my daughter's was over $5,000.
It's an insane amount of money that no one's ever prepared. You know, we don't ask for people's financial, you know, how much they make or whatever, because anybody that loses a child is in need of help. You know, you're never prepared for that.
And even a child's casket, I mean, that's still a hefty chunk of money too.
So it's really actually, though, more than just, I think, people think of a funeral cost when you're talking about remembrance and that it goes further.
It does.
It's a, and a lot of it goes to the emotional side of things, you know, something that they can always have with them. So we also do a little bit every year in our budget to remember the child. Every birthday, they receive a handwritten card from us. Every anniversary date of their child's passing, they get a card from us. We send out a Christmas card every year. As well as a handmade ornament that we make for each and every family we've helped. It's just a something that, you know, we like to do for them. We get a lot of great response from it, from the families, on how much it means that their child's not forgotten. So,
What a, well, what an amazing story. Awesome charity. For those who are interested in giving to Raise for Rowan, go to the site, search for Raise for Rowan on the search engine and start giving today. Bryn and Jen, we really want to thank you for coming and being on the podcast with us.
We appreciate it.
Very fun. Thanks for having us.